you very much. I appreciate you coming out on a cold night. Especially when an important football game is going on. We'd appreciate your prayers for us. We hope to have a new schedule, or schedule, as my British brothers and sisters say, of where we expect to be in the will of the Lord. There are still a number of things that are up in the air. We are due to be in Ghana, in Takoradi, Ghana, in the first week in March, and then to South Africa for the balance of March, and then to the ship Dulos, wherever it is. It's scheduled to be in Sudan, in Eritrea, however you pronounce that, Djibouti, which is actually in East Africa, Northeast Africa, and then perhaps to Yemen, and to Oman, and then to Kenya. But out of those five countries, only one of them has been confirmed. And so you can imagine the uneasiness going into the Middle East, into Oman and Yemen. Yemen is where the USS Cole was attacked. So it's not a convenient and comfortable place to go. But we need to go where the need is. And that's often difficult circumstances. So you might pray for the people who do the lineup for the ship, people who are making decisions on behalf of where the ship is going. Next Lord's Day, we hope to show you a short vignette of a visit of the Logos to Nicaragua. And hopefully that'll give you another view of that ministry, encourage you to be in prayer for it. This evening we want to turn again to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 15. As we look at Numbers chapter 15, we want to look at what happened. We mentioned this morning that the children of Israel came to Kadesh Barnea after 2 years of traveling from Egypt to Sinai and from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. It took about 2 years to make that journey. And during that time, all of those blessings and problems that we mentioned this morning took place. They were commanded by God to enter into the land of Canaan from Kadesh Barnea. And they chose not to do so in disobedience and unbelief. And so the question we ask, well, what happened? What happened to them? We mentioned to you this morning that God reserved 80 chapters for the 2 years that the children of Israel moved from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea. 80 chapters. That's Exodus, all of Exodus, 40 chapters. Leviticus, 27 chapters. And 14 chapters of the book of Numbers. That's 81, I guess, for those of you who are mathematicians or something like that. But then God reserves only 5 chapters for these 38 years of wandering. And that's from chapter 15 through chapter 19. So I want to read again chapter 15 and verse 1, 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land of your habitation, which I will give unto you. And then God begins to explain to them all of the offering and sacrifices that are necessary. 2 particular offerings were to be given. One is an offering for a sin of ignorance. That if they sinned without presumption, there was a sacrifice. If it was presumptuous sin, there was no sacrifice. We didn't spend any time on this morning, but we need to remember that one of the principles of God's dealing with sin in the nation of Israel was if there was presumptuous sin, that is, you intended to, you planned it, you arranged it, and you committed the sin, there was no sacrifice for presumptuous sin. If it was a spur of the moment, a moment of anger, then there was a sacrifice that could be offered. And so God deals with sin in that way. And it's helpful for us to remember that as we read. But going back going back again to chapter 14 and verse 33. In that chapter, in this verse, the Lord again says to the nation of Israel that the children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and that they would have 1 year for every day that the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, was searched out. The number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. And then in chapter 19, or chapter 20, chapter 19 ends with the reminder of the unclean person. It reviews some of these sacrifices and offerings. And then in chapter 20, in verse 1, and the children of Israel came, even the whole congregation, into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. In the end of the chapter, we have Aaron. Aaron was buried in Mount Hor, and Aaron lived 120 years, I think. They mourned for him for 30 days. So we want to ask the question this evening, what happened? If we have only four chapters that review the experience of the children of Israel from the wandering in the wilderness, what happened? And as we look at if you'd read these chapters this afternoon, if you did your assignment or the suggestion that you read these five chapters, you'll find that almost all of these chapters are taken up with the offerings and the instructions and the guidance. We do have finding a man picking up sticks, and he was stoned. So all of that, and we have almost nothing that explains what took place. In chapter 33, we read this morning a couple of verses that chronicles all of the movements of the children of Israel from Kadesh Barnea, wandering in the wilderness, and then coming back to Kadesh 38 years later. Let's pray together and thank the Lord for his instruction for us this evening. Our loving God and our Father, we come to thank you for so clearly revealing to us the truth of your word. We realize that that which we read in your word, for the most part, we understand. It challenges our behavior. It challenges what we think. It reminds us of our failure and disobedience. It is like a mirror that reflects our lives. And we stand in amazement this evening again that your word shows us exactly the kind of person we are. And Father, we acknowledge and we confess our unfaithfulness. We confess that we are not what we should be. We confess that our behavior and our conduct is inconsistent with what we know in your word. So we come again this evening confessing our failure, failing to stand when we should, failure to be strong when we should, acknowledge our own emptiness when we should be full, failing to appropriate your blessings that are given to us. And we thank you for your patience. You have been patient with the nation of Israel all these generations, and still you call them your people, and you will fulfill your promises to them. And so you are faithful to us, and we thank you again this evening for meeting with us and for speaking to us as you said you would do through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We looked this morning at a review of history. This evening we want to try to understand what happened. And I think it's important for us to try to reconstruct, and we have to do that, because we don't have revelation. Oh, you say we're going into dangerous territory. Well, I hope not. I don't think so. But if we think of the children of Israel moving from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea, and taking 2 years to get there, including an 11.5 month encampment at Sinai, where the law was given, where the tabernacle was instructed, where the golden calf was created, where the tables of the law were broken, and the construction of the tabernacle took place. And we think of those 2 years, and then finally they arrive at Kadesh Barnea. And at Kadesh Barnea they say, we're not going in. We will not enter the land of Canaan.
We refuse, we reject, we disobey, we are in unbelief, and they had to confess this. And so God says in chapter 14, you will go into the wilderness. Everyone from 20 years old and upward, all of you will die. 2 million people, 175 funerals a day for 38 years. And you will go into the wilderness. And you will come back to the same place 38 years later. It would be normal for us to say, what happened? What took place? And so I'd like to look this evening at the wilderness wandering. We cannot go to chapters and say, here's what took place, because God is silent. We cannot go here and say, these are the circumstances, here are the problems, here is the disobedience, here is the funeral, because the Word of God is silent. You say, well, what have you got to say? Well, I would like to suggest that we look at this period of time for which God is silent and compare it with what God commanded the children of Israel to do. What did He want them to do? What should they have done in the land of Canaan that they weren't able to do because they were wandering in the wilderness? And I would like to suggest to you 5 or 6 things, because they stand as examples to us this evening of the same kind of experience that takes place in the life of a believer who comes to the same place in their spiritual experience and is unwilling to act in faith and obedience and turns around and says, no, we will not trust God, we will not obey God. And God said, okay, back into the wilderness. And the same things will take place in your life and in mine if we refuse. It's a warning. Because we might say, well, they wandered in the wilderness, we don't know what happened, but we know what should have happened. And we might say to ourselves, well, it doesn't make any difference to us. We come and hear of the wonderful opportunity of entering into the blessings that God gives us in Christ, but we refuse. So what do we lose? We trust in ourselves, we trust in our riches, we trust in our capacities, we trust in our possessions, we trust in our education, we trust in these things, and we can make it. And the Christian church has accepted the idea that you can live in the wilderness and live well. That you can exist in the Christian life having been brought out of Egypt, having trusted Christ as your Savior, and you can live in the wilderness and live well. And it's sad, but it's true. But we look at life in a good condition primarily from a physical condition rather than a spiritual situation. When we look at what God wants us to have, what He wants us to enjoy, what He wants us to participate in, it is primarily dealing with spiritual blessings. So first of all, what happened to the children of Israel for 38 years? How can we characterize these times? We, I think, have an exact picture. The first thing is, there was no progress. Think about it. 38 years of wandering around and no progress. Yes, they put one foot in front of the other. Yes, they had morning, noon, and night. Yes, they went down and got up in the morning, and if they were still alive, they moved from one place to the other, but there was no progress. They were wandering without direction. And because there is no progress, they are not accomplishing God's plan, they're not enjoying God's direction for them. In fact, it's entirely possible that the cloud and the tabernacle stayed right there at Kadesh Barnea. And rather than the tabernacle being assembled and disassembled some 33 times, it stayed there, and the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. How can we say they wandered in the wilderness and the pillar of cloud was guiding them? Surely that is not true. And most would suggest that the pillar of cloud abode over the tabernacle because that's where they should have entered the land of Canaan. And the pillar of cloud did not guide them, did not direct them, did not protect them. But it stayed over the tabernacle at Kadesh or nearby while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And so they turned back a year for a day, wandering in the wilderness, and there was no progress. Let me ask you about your Christian life. Has there been progress? Are we in the same mental state spiritually that we were 5 years ago or 10 years ago? Has there been progress? Or do you look back at your Christian experience and say, we have just been wandering. We have just been going back and forth and we haven't really learned anything. We've not grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. We are just satisfied to wander around. And I dare say that for many Christians, and for many in the Christian church, that's what happens. There is no progress. There is no direction. The cloud remains in one place, and we branch out this way, and then we go this way, and then we go that way. And the children of Israel wandered for 38 years. What a waste of time. To think of 38 years out of your lifetime with no spiritual progress. Trusted Christ as your Savior? Yes! But no spiritual progress. There's no grasping at new truth. There's no engaging in great and huge issues that deal with my Christian life. I'm giving the same amount to the Lord, percentage to the Lord, that I gave 20 years ago. The Word of God means nothing more to me, and there is no spiritual progress. I pray the same things today that I prayed last year. My words are the same, my thoughts are the same, and I've not grown. It's characteristic of people who are in the wilderness. A waste of time. A waste of life. I can remember the comical expression of antiquity for those who are old, who sit in the rocking chair and can't get it going. But a rocking chair is a classic illustration, back and forth, and not making any progress. And the children of Israel wasted their life. Truly a wasted life. A wonderful opportunity to enter into the land of Canaan, to feed on all that God would provide, to live in houses that they didn't build, to eat the fruit of the land that they didn't plant, and they're wandering in the wilderness. A wasted life. God has given to all of us in Jesus Christ enormous spiritual resources to be used, to be engaged in, to be the merchandise of spiritual growth and development. And if we don't lay hold of those things, it's a wasted life. Like sitting in a rocking chair, back and forth, back and forth. We're moving, but we're not making any progress. A wasted time, a wasted life, and a wasted experience. They'd gone to school for 2 years. What schooling it was. The blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. Passing through the Red Sea. A song in Exodus chapter 15. A glorious song of celebration. A problem with water here and another problem with water there. But I'm hungry and God sends manna. The cloud above by night which would keep them warm. And during the day that would protect them from the heat. The giving of the law, the demonstration of God's power. What a wonderful school. And they could have graduated from that school after 2 years and entered into the land of Canaan. And they flunked. How could those people that saw so much of God, so much of His power, so much of His wisdom, so much of His care and His protection, come to the final exam, as it were, on the edge of Canaan and waste all of those experiences? We are like grasshoppers in their sight, and they are like, we are like grasshoppers in our own sight. There was no development. There was no growth. As best we can understand, there would have been no prayer. There was no Bible. There was little other things that showed growth. First of all, it was characterized by no progress. And so you in your Christian life, and I in mine, must learn and understand
must be faced with the challenge, am I growing as a Christian? We went through 1 Peter for a few years. And the last lesson in 1 Peter, grow in grace. We began with that study and we finished with that study. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. We should grow in our Bible study. We should grow in our prayer life. We should grow in our evangelism. We should grow in the area of giving. We should grow in our knowledge. We should grow and develop. And the truths that we should understand and appreciate should be growing experiences. But for the children of Israel, there was no progress. If they were to have entered into the land of Canaan, had they entered that land in obedience and faith, it would have been a growing experience. Because every place the sole of their foot landed, it would be a new truth, a new idea, a new concept, something new from God. And they would have appropriated it. They would have eaten the fruit. They would have enjoyed their houses. They would have enjoyed the rain, the early and the latter rain. They would have been amazed at the mountains. They would have enjoyed the stream. But no, there was no progress. No progress in faith. No progress in obedience. No progress in love, no progress in joy, no progress in peace. Is there progress in your life? It's the question that we must answer. There should be a greater demonstration of faith today. We should expect God to do greater things for us today. There should be less need for a dramatic miracle in our life today because we believe God. Without dramatic intervention, no progress. Secondly, there was no Passover. 7 times in Israel's history, there is a record of a Passover. And the children of Israel were reminded that they were to celebrate the Passover every year. And so as best we can understand, for 38 years, there was no Passover. Why was the Passover so important? It was a covenant. It was a statute for their generations for how long? Forever. Why was that? They were to be taken up with their salvation. They were to be occupied with the way that God saved them. Their eyes were to be fixed on the lamb that died, the lamb that they ate and they feasted upon. It was to be an annual experience. And if you were to take the history of Israel recorded for us in the Bible, you will find that only 7 times is there a record of Passover. Were there other times? I'm sure there might have been. But God has recorded only 7 of them. And for 38 long years, as best we can understand, there was no occupation with their salvation. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if we're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means we must be occupied with our Savior. We must be taken up with Him and with our salvation. They were there. They were in the wilderness. They were at Kadesh Barnea because of the Passover. Because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of the death angel passing over when he saw the blood. And they were there because of that. And you and I, if we have trusted Christ, if we've been born again, if we've been forgiven, it's because of the blood of the Lamb. And there are people who say, yes, I believe. I've been saved. I've been born again. I've been forgiven. But they find no need and no enjoyment in the Lord's Supper. That Passover has been given to Israel in the same way that the Lord's Supper, the communion service, the Eucharist, whatever term you want to call it, it's ours. And we are commanded, this do in remembrance of me. It is a command, but we don't do it out of command. We do it out of love. And we want to be brought back again and again to the cross and view the cross and hear the Lord Jesus say to us, remember me. And so there was no remembrance. Wandering in the wilderness does not promote remembrance. It is being occupied with circumstances. That was a night for Israel to be much remembered. We have a night to be much remembered as well. It was midnight at midday as he cried out, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And we remember him. There was no remembrance. And with remembrance goes thanksgiving. There was no thanksgiving. Where is the appreciation for their salvation? Where is the appreciation of our salvation? Hardly should our lips begin or end a prayer that we don't somewhere in the context of that prayer tell God what a wonderful Savior we have. To say thank you for bringing us out of bondage, out of the dominion of Satan and the flesh and self, and being brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's beginning. It's the beginning of a journey of the life, a life of thanksgiving. Go back to Exodus chapter 15. Read that chapter again. Revel in it. Sing it to your own tune. It's a glorious celebration of the salvation that the children of Israel enjoyed. We should do the same. What appreciation. Instead, Amos chapter 5, verses 25 and 26 says that they worshipped idols. They worshipped the gods that they made, says Amos. And Amos is reminding us, and others remind us, that as the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, they developed an idolatry, and they worshipped the idols that they had brought out of Egypt, and which were the idols of the nations around them. Not a word about escape from death. Not a thought about escape from slavery into liberty. Stephen reminds us in Acts chapter 7, verses 42 and 43, life in the wilderness is a desert without remembrance and without thanksgiving. Yes, we have biblical basis to say that for 38 years, there was no progress. There was no Passover. Like Israel, there are many who go week after week, month after month, perhaps year after year, without meditating upon the salvation that they enjoy in Christ, who find no enjoyment, who find no opportunity for adoration and praise at the Lord's Supper. And I dare say that if that is characteristic of our life, we would have to say we are very near to wandering in the wilderness. No Passover. Certainly there was no prophecy. No communion. For 2 years, God talked to man. God spoke to Moses, God spoke to Aaron, and God ascended to the mountain of Sinai, and there from Mount Sinai, with thunder and lightning and fire and earthquake, God spoke to man and gave them the law. And Israel said, no, no, you speak to Moses, and let Moses speak to us. And God directed them and guided them and provided for them and spoke to Moses. And Moses spoke to the people. And then for 38 years, the voice of God was silent. And there was no prophecy. They were far from the tabernacle. They were probably far from the cloud. They weren't near the altar. They weren't near the tent, and they were wandering in the wilderness. And for 38 years, their ears did not hear the voice of God. No prophecy. There were other occasions in Israel's history when prophecy was wasn't available. It was occasions when God chose not to speak. In the days of Samuel, until God spoke to Samuel, it hadn't spoken. For 400 silent years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was a prophecy. No voice and no vision. And you know that there are people who say, yes, I believe the gospel. I am born again. I have received Christ as my Savior. I'm out of Egypt. I'm no longer bound by that. But I don't hear God's voice. I read the Bible, but it doesn't mean anything to me. I read, but it's the same book. And there's nothing new, nothing fresh. I don't hear God speaking to me. And I dare say it's characteristic of those who are wandering in the wilderness because there is no voice. They don't hear the Lord. There is no vision. These people were to die in the wilderness. And I'm not talking about seeing God in a vision. I'm talking about the children of Israel as they wandered around. They had lost the vision that one day we'll be in the land. One day we'll be there. We'll have our own land. We'll have our own house. We'll have our own vineyard. We'll have our own crops, our own herds. And there was no vision. It was a sad picture, wasn't it? They knew that from 20 years old and upward, they would all die in the wilderness. And not one of them, except Joshua and Caleb, would enter into the land of Canaan. No song in the wilderness, no song. Their heart was hardened through unbelief and disobedience. And it can happen in our lives. We can become hardened through disobedience and unbelief. There was no vision, says Proverbs 29, where there is no vision, the people perish. I wonder if Solomon was thinking of the children of Israel on that occasion when they could have entered into the land of Canaan and refused, and the vision of all those blessings was lost, and they all perished. No progress, no Passover, no prophecy. Fourthly, there was no protection. Oh, you say, what do you mean by protection? Well, for 2 years, God had protected them. He protected them from hunger. He protected them from thirst. He protected them from the hot and the cold and from enemies. But now they would all perish. And some would perish in the heat and some would perish in the cold. Some would perhaps perish because of hunger or perhaps of thirst. And there they were wandering in the wilderness. Death came. The sentence of death came on all of them from 20 years old and upward. And they died in the wilderness. You know, I suppose there are many who come to Jesus Christ for salvation and are born again, and they begin perhaps to grow for a few years, and then they become comfortable, and the world becomes more important to them. Education becomes more important to them. Possessions become more important to them. Prosperity and affluence becomes more important to them. Family becomes... And so they die in the wilderness, and they never again come back to Kadesh Barnea with an opportunity to enter into God's blessing. There was no protection. There was death and darkness. The pillar of fire was at Kadesh Barnea, and they were wandering in the wilderness. It's a sad picture. There was no protection. Fifthly, there was no possession. Perhaps saddest of all was that God had said to the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, I'm bringing you out that I may bring you in. I am taking you out of the land of Egypt. I'm uprooting you from Egypt, and I'm going to plant you in the land of Canaan. This is your land. I have given it to you. I've given you its houses. I've given you its land. I've given you its crops. I've given you its herds. I've given you its vineyards. I've given you its fields. I've given it all to you. But they didn't have any of it. And there are many in our Christian experience today who say, I have Christ. But they don't begin to understand the blessings that are in Christ. And their life has not been changed. They're happy and they're satisfied with having their sins forgiven. And one day God will take them to heaven. And that's the extent of their understanding of salvation. No, says God, I've given you a land. It's yours. Yours to possess. And for these, they lost the inheritance. Did they lose their salvation? No. They were saved through the blood of the Lamb, but they lost the enjoyment of their inheritance. They lost the invitation that God had given to them. Go in, enjoy, and participate in the land. They lost it. And their lives were unchanged. Their growth was stunted. The land of rivers and valleys and mountains, the land of olives and figs and oils, of wheat and of barley and of honey, all this long list God gives, they didn't enjoy any of it because of a lack of obedience. So we stop there? No, we can't stop there. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 11, he reminds us that there remains a rest for the people of God. And if we look at these verses in Hebrews, God is saying to us today, as he said to the readers of the book of Hebrews, there remains a rest. What is this rest? It's the land of Canaan. Canaan was a land of rest. Not a rest from conflict, but a rest in conflict, because God was going to fight
on their behalf. The door is open. It stands available. And we can today set aside our fears, our anxieties, our worries, and we can begin to enter into the blessings that God has given us. We can place our foot on a truth from the Word of God, say, yes, I believe it. God says it. And we rest upon that truth. And we begin to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do that, there will be progress. We will enjoy the Passover. We will hear God's voice in prophecy. We will enjoy His protection. And we'll begin to understand His possession. But where is the grace of God in all of this? There was still provision. In spite of their wandering, in spite of what God had said to them, you will go into the wilderness and all of your carcasses will be strewn around the wilderness for 38 years. God still, according to Deuteronomy chapter 8, He said, I've given you water. He said, I will continue to give you manna, even in the wilderness. He said, your shoes will not wear out. Your clothes will not wear out for 38 years. Who wants to wear the same pair of shoes for 38 years? But that's the experience of the wilderness. There was still provision. And if you look back to Numbers chapter 15 and verse 1 and verse 2, there still was the promise. God says in spite of their disobedience and in spite of their rebellion, He gives us these wonderful words in chapter 15. When you come into the land. When you come into the land of your inheritance, which I give to you. I think that's a thrilling verse. I think that's an amazing statement that He knew that Israel was going into the wilderness. 2 million people would die. They would perish day after day. But He says to them, when you get into the land, you're going to get there. Not this generation, but that generation. You thought the children would die. The children are the ones who are going to enter into the land of Canaan. And we come at the end of 38 years in chapter 20 and verse 1. And Israel is now poised with a new generation and a further opportunity. God said, my promise remains. My provision remains. And it's possible. It's possible for us to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, be born again by the Spirit of God, enjoy His forgiveness, enjoy the promise of heaven, and not enjoy what the Lord Jesus wants to do in our life day by day, but we hold on to those two or three things. We enjoy the manna, that's Christ come down from heaven. We enjoy His life. We enjoy the water. We read the Word of God. It sustains us, but it doesn't satisfy us. Our shoes don't wear out, and we continue to wander, and our clothes don't wear out. But there is no progress. There is no celebration of the Passover. There is no hearing God's voice from His Word. There is no protection from death. And there is no possession of what God wants us to enjoy. 38 years God covers in 5 chapters. And those 5 chapters are summarized by the experience of the children of Israel. No progress. No Passover. No prophecy. No protection. And no possession. But there is provision for the essentials of life. And a promise that the next generation will enter this land. And so, next Lord's Day, we begin our journey from Kadesh. After 38 years of wandering, we begin with a whole new generation on their way from Kadesh to the land of Canaan. I hope you're not among those who are wandering in the wilderness. Shall we pray? Our loving God and Father, we thank You that the door is still open in this generation and in this community and in the church today to enter into the blessings and privileges and joys, into the love and joy and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, to participate in His meekness and gentleness, to appropriate the towers of His strength, to drink deeply at the rivers
of his satisfaction, and to find every day and every moment satisfaction and sufficiency in all that the Lord Jesus Christ is. Thank you for drawing our attention again to those wasted years, those wasted lives, those wasted experience. And may we never be counted among those who wander in the wilderness, not experiencing any spiritual progress, but satisfied to wander without enjoying the blessings. Thank you again for speaking to us and reminding us of your provision through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we give thanks. Amen.